in the New Testament letter of St. James, he writes, "If there is anyone who is sick among you, let them send for the priests of the church, and let the priests pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed any sins, his sins will be forgiven them." And this is where we find the origin of the sacrament of anointing of the sick, which in former times and somehow through the centuries, it got the name the last sacraments. In fact, I remember many times going to anoint somebody who was sick and they began to burst into tears because they thought they were dying when they saw me there. But that's not the case. Anytime that a person finds himself or herself in a very serious situation with an illness, where there's a danger of death or any kind of serious surgery and something like that, it's always good to ask for the anointing of the sick. And again, this is nothing new, but something that goes back to the very beginning of the church, as we see Jesus himself healing people and the apostles anointing many who were sick and curing them. Makes me think about the very first time that I had the anointing of the sick, or gave the anointing of the sick as a priest. But we have to begin with the summer of 1996, when I was a transitional deacon, a deacon on the way to priesthood, and assigned to St. John's Cathedral in Lafayette. While there, I was helping out with the Missionaries of Charity. That's the religious order founded by Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And I'd go to their convent, expose the Blessed Sacrament for them for a holy hour, give them conferences and so on. And nuns kind of have a way of making priests do whatever they want you to do. So they also kind of got me into helping them. They would go to the poor people's houses around Lafayette, pray a novena to the Sacred Heart, and then we would consecrate the home to the Sacred Heart after that and enthrone a picture of the Sacred Heart. So this is what I did with him as a deacon. So fast forward to June of 1997. I was ordained a priest, and a week later, the sisters had asked me to go and celebrate Mass for them on a Saturday, which I did. And afterwards, they were very happy to ask me if I would go with them to, once again, consecrate some homes of the Sacred Heart. So I had time, and we did. We go to house number one, person's not there. House number two, person's not home. House number three, however, Agnes Simon, never going to forget that name, was there. So we go through all the prayers and everything at the very end. We go back to Miss Simon's kitchen. She sits down. I'm doing the final prayers, and she had a stroke right there. Well, of course, the nuns get all excited about this, and one goes to call 911. The other says, "Father, you have to anoint her before the ambulance comes." Well, I don't have any oils, okay, no holy oils. I've got my stole. I have got the ritual for the anointing of the sick, but don't have the holy oil. So the holy oil is usually, of course, olive oil, but in the case of an emergency, you can use any kind of vegetable oil. And there's a prayer of blessing that you use for the anointing. So I go to Miss Agnes's kitchen. I find Mazola corn oil, pour a little cup full of that, bless it, and anointed her. So my first anointing of the sick with Mazola. And she lived for a week after that, God bless her. But again, it shows the importance that the church gives to this sacrament, that even in an emergency, any kind of oil, not only olive oil, can be used. But we use these oils in a variety of sacraments, right? We have three different kinds. The oil of the catechumens that we use in baptism, where the person being baptized is anointed on the chest as a preparation for our baptism. We have the perfumed olive oil called the oil of chrism that we also use in baptism as a sign of the Holy Spirit coming upon that person to claim them for Christ. We use it in confirmation when the person receives the fullness of the Holy Spirit, again, as a sign that the Holy Spirit comes upon the person to give them the fullness of initiation. And, of course, the oil of the sick that is used in the anointing of the sick. All three bless every year and renewed every year on Holy Thursday, the Thursday before Easter, at the Mass of Chrism celebrated by the bishop in his cathedral church with his priests. So this Mass of oil, blessing of oil, is there in the morning. Then in the evening we come together on Holy Thursday and we celebrate the Mass of the Lord's Supper, which ushers in the Easter Triduum. And in that evening Mass, we take bread and wine to be consecrated and changed to the body and blood of Christ. Now all those elements come from the Old Testament as a sign of sacrifice and renewal. The Psalms even talk about that. Okay, the grain, the wine, and the oil, the sheep and the oxen. Grain, wine, and oil, sheep and oxen, all being used for sacrifice and for redemption. The grain, of course, becoming bread, the wine being wine, but the bread and wine being changed into Christ, who is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world as a sacrifice and brings us the oil of the Holy Spirit to renew us, to refresh us, to redeem us, to bring us back into relationship and reconciliation with God. All these Old Testament elements being used in the New, a shadow of sacrifice and redemption, our reconciliation with God. Our initiation into the church, our becoming part of the body of Christ, the church, is just that. Through baptism, confirmation, Eucharist, we have the sacred oil and those sacred species, consecrated oil and the body and blood of Christ, one leading to the other. The Holy Spirit bringing us to Christ, Christ giving us the Spirit. Why? To be fulfilled and to become what St. Paul says, adopted sons and daughters of Christ, living in the fullness of the Lord. Now, the people of the Old Testament realized that oil did many things. Oil was used for cleansing the body. It was used to strengthen the body in athletic contests. It was used as nourishment in food. It was something that would renew and rejuvenate one's skin after being out in the dry desert. It was used to beautify. And they saw that what the oil does to the body, the Holy Spirit does to the soul. So just as sickness can destroy the body, so sin destroys the soul, but the Holy Spirit comes to restore health and life to body and soul. It does the same thing, to cleanse, to strengthen, to nourish and renew, to rejuvenate and to make beautiful. Those who held the important offices of the Old Testament, of priest, prophet, and king, were always anointed with the sacred oil to show that they had been chosen by God for their sacred duties. That is, to preach the word of God, to offer the sacrifice, to redeem and make holy the people of God, and to rule. In Christ, we see him as all three. The priest who offers himself as sacrifice, the word of God who brings us the fullness of truth, and the king of the universe, which he is by his own divine nature. That in Christ we see all three. All three are given us at the same time. That Christ has us having a share in his priesthood, his prophecy, and his kingship, all by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we become like Christ, Christos, which means anointed. Our baptism into Christ, our reception of his body and blood in the Eucharist, our receiving the Holy Spirit in confirmation are meant to draw you and me deeper and deeper into the life of Christ so that his life becomes our very own. You and I, my brothers and sisters, have been made, as St. Paul says, temples, temples of the Holy Spirit. And we are meant to glorify God in our bodies, using our bodies in accord with God's will, doing good, not evil, with our hearts burning with a love for Christ. By the Holy Spirit, by the word of Christ himself, we have been enlightened by truth. We've been enlightened by truth to understand the ways of God, to come to the knowledge of God, to be filled with the wisdom of God, knowing good from evil, willingly choosing to do the good, to think, to meditate, to ponder on the law of the Lord day and night, and let it become part of who we are. That's why we exist. Nobody is here by accident. No one is born by accident. We are willed into existence by God, and we exist for the praise of his glory. We exist to praise and honor and glorify God both here on earth and in eternity, destined, as St. Paul says, for adoption according to his will, for the praise and glory of his grace, which has been granted to us by the sacrifice of his beloved Son. By our initiation into the Christ, into the body of Christ, you and I are meant to be changed. Just as in the sacrament of holy orders, a priest's soul is changed. He is configured to Christ, which means that he stands there in the place of Christ to do what Christ has done, to absolve sin, to sanctify, to preach, to teach, to govern, to say that this is my body, this is my blood. It's not the priest that you're receiving, but Christ. But in the whole of Christian life, we are meant to be in that sacred priesthood of Christ, not the ordained priesthood, but something different, but important nonetheless. To make Christ present by who we are and by what we do. It's for us, the whole priestly people of God, to become more like Christ in faith, more like Christ in hope, more like Christ in love, more like Christ in action. Like those disciples in the gospel, every one of us here, being sent out by Christ to do what? To proclaim and to live the gospel. Proclaim and live the gospel. Not depending on anything else that the world has to offer. Not relying on anything that it has, but depending totally on Christ. Giving our allegiance to Him and to Him alone. By our lives, the Lord wants us to drive out evil by doing good, by loving, by forgiving, by healing, by establishing peace, to be holy and to make the world holy, for us to be vessels of the Holy Spirit. We read in the gospel where Jesus was at supper with a friend. And while he was there, a woman comes in with a jar of oil, and she breaks the jar, and she pours the oil on the Lord's feet after she had finished bathing his feet with her tears and drying them with her hair. But here we are today, before Christ himself, before the feet of the Lord, mourning, weeping in this valley of tears because of human sin. But we know that Christ, in turn, has broken the chains of sin and death, that Christ has forgiven us, and he pours his very oil over us. Not Mazzola, but the very Spirit that he wants to give, the Holy Spirit. Pouring this oil to cleanse us, to strengthen us, to nourish us, to renew us. The oil of salvation, the oil of gladness, the unction of the Holy Spirit. May the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, anoint us. Enlighten the eyes of our hearts, that we may know the hope of our call and live in the hope of that call, led by the grace of the Spirit that He has given us so graciously.